birth of Christ and how it happened there in the temple with Simeon and Anna. And I know I'm a pastor at heart, but there again, with preaching, very evangelistic in my heart to be that's kind of person I am. And so I pray today that what I have to say to you will be a blessing as well. Now, I didn't give Mary, I looked up there and seen that and thought Mary, Jesus' mother, Mary, but because I know that that's where I'm going in a minute. But I know I didn't give Kathy a whole lot of stuff upstairs today, and I know she's going to be winging it with me, and I did that on purpose because I want to be able to flow and see what God has to say today. When I study, I have a general idea of what I'm going to do when I get up here. And y'all don't know that when I'm up here that a lot of times I'm on pins and needles and I'm just listening to the Lord and talking to you at the same time. And I've done that for years that way. I used to write out manuscript outlines and write out every word almost, and I do that. I don't do that no more. I just try to go with what I feel like God has for me. I don't do that regularly all the time. Sometimes I do, but not all the time. So today I just want to share with you what I believe God would want me to share with you. And I want you to turn back with me today to John chapter 3. I've been reading that, and I've been there around John chapter 3. But I only want to read a portion of it today. I'm not going to go back and talk about every bit of it. We mentioned it last week. You know the history behind it, with Jesus there talking to a man by the name of Nicodemus. We all know John 3:16. We could quote it by heart today. But there's still a few little nuggets in there that I want to try to pull out in this message this morning. So we're going to go to John chapter 3. And I want to pick up reading in verse 15. Now, I have a bad set of glasses on today, and I'm trying to get focused. And that right there is the only place I'm focused. So if y'all see me picking stuff up and looking at it, you'll know it's these. Verse 15. He says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Last weekend we talked about verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18. And he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Stretch your hands this way and pray for me today. Father, in Jesus' name, we come humbly as we know how today to come before you on this Christmas morning to do one thing. That is to talk about Jesus. That is to brag about Jesus. That is to tell the world about Jesus. Father, I thank you today that, God, that I don't have to come here in my own strength. I don't have to come here in my own power. I don't have to come here to do anything on my own, because you told us in the Word that it's in you that we live and we move and we have our being. So, Father, I pray, God, today that you would anoint us to preach the Word of God. Father, I thank you, God, for your amazing grace. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that God, that you, O Lord, are the one and the living God that we serve today. Father, I thank you for this Christmas Sunday morning, that the folks of God, the people of God, the saints of God has come out today to hear the Word of God. And Lord, as this Word goes forth today, God, may it transform us into that you would want us to become. And God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Jesus is the greatest gift of humanity. the greatest gift that God could have ever given to you and to me was delivered. As we think about the Christmas story again, I'm not going to go through all of that today. We've heard it since our childhood, if you will, and we know it. But yet I think sometimes we do not know the depth, the width, the height of what Jesus came to do for us. I think sometimes it still behooves us, if I can use that word, to grasp the very factor that Jesus came to this earth, as the Bible describes Him and says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was 100% God and yet 100% man. When we think about Jesus, we think about, as it's already been stated today, about the prophetic years, how that even in the Old Testament, there was a continual looking, there was a continual waiting, if you will, for this one who was prophesied about would finally come on the scene. You and I looking back to the manger. You and I looking back to the life of Jesus. You and I looking back to the cross. And surely we don't understand, or they did not understand, everything that you and I understand today. But yet because of the Word of God that was prophesied, Isaiah 7 and 14 teaches us that Jesus would come. And in the coming of Jesus, there was a promise made in that verse of Scripture. And it said, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a son. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. Emmanuel, according to the angel, how that the angel spoke to Gabriel, spoke to Joseph, if you will, said His name shall be called Emmanuel. Emmanuel being interpreted is simply this, that God is with us. God with us. Now on this Sunday morning, that's Christmas Day, I don't know what you might have gotten as a gift today. I don't know what you might have gotten under a tree or out of something that somebody gave you, and my wife got me something and I got her something, and even as great and as wonderful as my new bedroom shoes are that I wanted, hallelujah to the Lamb, and her cute little snuggy warm thing that I got her, even as much as we love those gifts, my friend, there is nothing that can compare to the gift of Jesus Christ and what Jesus did when Jesus came to the cross. I began to think about this morning, and I began to think about what I would say here today and how that I would bring this message out today. Years ago, there was a man by the name of Milton, or Strada is his last name, or something like that. And he might have started this as a poem. I don't know if it was a poem, but it soon became a song. And I'm gonna give you the words to this poem song this morning. And it goes like this, and you'll pick up on it in just a minute. And I don't know if the snow was falling or not because of the proximity of the birth of Jesus, and I'll let Brother Scott talk about that on another lesson. But this is the way the poem song actually goes. The snow was falling down that night with no place to rest in sight. Soon she would bring forth a son. The inn was so full, so instead, he was born in a stable bed. There his life had just begun. But how was she supposed to know, as she wrapped him in swaddling clothes, her precious newborn son would become a sacrifice? Yes, he would run and he would laugh and play, but his manhood would bring the day. For the world, he would choose to die. I'm not doing that in tune, by the way. I could, but I'm not. And then the chorus of that song just simply goes like this, that Mary wrapped a present to the world. How many of you have ever heard Connie Hopper sing, Mary wrapped a present to the world? On that first Christmas morn, when baby Jesus was born, Mary wrapped a present to the world. Then the second verse says, there was no lighted Christmas tree, just one lighted star so all could see the way to Bethlehem on that winter night. Many gifts they brought to him, but a greater gift she gave to them, for through her son would come eternal life. And Mary wrapped a present to the world on that first Christmas morn. When Jesus was born, Mary wrapped a present to the world. I began to think about a present. And again, I mentioned this last year about this time of the year, about the present that God gave you and I. But I began to think again about a present. How many of you, and you can show your hand, it's not a trick question, how many of you have already had the opportunity to unwrap a Christmas present this year? Anybody at all? Most of you have. Most of you are maybe getting one a little later today. I hope you do. But I thought about a present. I thought about how that a present normally is wrapped. And we don't know the content of the present. Now, I'm going to pick on Sherry a minute. She didn't know I was going to do this in this message. But she's one that cannot wait on a present. She anticipates what's on the inside. She's normally one that'll go pick up a gift and shake a gift or see if it rattles or see if it makes a noise on the inside or see if it shuffles around in the box. Anybody guilty besides Sherry in the room? She is very guilty of doing that. There's an anticipation in her to know what's on the inside of that gift. Maybe you're like some of these children that I know, and maybe I did this maybe a time or two when I was little. Maybe you can slide the tape up a little bit, and maybe you can get into the box a little bit and sort of peek on the inside just to see what's on the inside of the package. Now, this may not make any theological sense this morning, but this is how I thought about it. Jesus is here right now, and Jesus, just like that gift, you do not know what's on the inside of that gift until it's opened. If it's something to wear, you can't fathom the warmth of it. If it's something to eat, you can't enjoy the flavor of it. If it's something to cook out of or whatever gift it may or may not have been, a new pair of bedroom shoes, whatever the case might have been, it cannot be enjoyed until it is unwrapped. I began to think to myself as I studied and worked my way through this that how many people today, my friend, they know about Jesus. They've heard the gospel. They know the name of Jesus. And they've heard the Christmas songs, joy to the world, the Lord has come. But yet, for whatever reason, they have not yet unwrapped the gift. They have not unwrapped what Jesus came to do for them. They're still lost. They're still in their sin. And they're still living in darkness. But all it takes today, my friend, is to unwrap the gift. You've got to see what is on the inside of the gift. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And nobody, my friend, nobody, I don't care who they are, nobody can tell you about the goodness of Jesus until they've unwrapped the gift and they've experienced Him for themselves. I can tell you how good chocolate cake is all day long. I can describe it to you. I can talk about the creaminess of the icing, and I can talk about the texture and the flavor of the cake. But until you've actually tasted the cake yourself, and until you've actually done that, all you're doing is looking from the outside in, and you're thinking to yourself, I don't know what that cake tastes like. And see, people look at the church today and they think that we're just a religious fanatic or religious institution. And we may be, in some ways, we got a way that we do things, and we've got a way that we operate the church and all that. We call it organized religion, and people get all mad about that. We've got a structure. I understand that. But our whole purpose is not for the structure. Our whole purpose is simply so that people can enjoy and people can experience the love of God and the love of Jesus. Amen. I began to think about things that I personally found. Things that I personally found. CJ, don't make them loud out there, but give me a little bit of monitor, sir. But I begin to think about things that me personally, the things that I have experienced myself when I unwrap the gift, when I experience Jesus for myself. The Bible describes Jesus in 2 Corinthians 9 and 15. As Paul is actually talking and he's expressing to those there at Corinth. And one of the things he says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Amen. Jesus in the manger, when Mary wrapped the present to the world, it is an unspeakable gift today. There's not another thing on earth that will give you the assurance that Jesus will give you when you come in contact with him. But my friend, sometimes we've got to unwrap the gift. There's four or five things I want to mention here really, really quick. And at the end, I pray that you too have experienced this thing called the gift. When I begin to think about what we experienced when we unwrapped the gift of Jesus, the first thing I thought about, my friend, you experience an unconditional love. Hello? You experience an unconditional love. That's why the Bible says that whosoever will, let him call upon the name of the Lord. And somebody says, well, preacher, I was a mess, and I've done this, and I've done that, and I've been an atheist, I've been an agnostic, and I've been an unbeliever. Hey, but the Bible says we were all dead in our trespasses and in our sins, but thank God for the unspeakable gift. I thought about love. I thought about love because that's the first thing that I experience when I give my heart to God. And you've heard the story before. I won't go through that today. Not all of it, but the person that came to me that said these words to me, she said, Alan, we love you. Do you want to go pray? And I said, yes, I do. The greatest choice I ever made in life was when Wanda Parkins came to a pew at the Clyde Church of God, and she showed me something that I don't know that I had ever felt in all of my life. And you're there maybe on a pew today and you're saying, preacher, I want that love that you're talking about. My friend, you can have him today, and his name is still Jesus. Hallelujah. That babe that was born in the manger, that babe that gave his life on the cross, thank God today that the veil of the temple was rent in twain. The middle wall of partition was not for you and I to get in, but it was for God to get out, so that God could love the whole world, regardless of anything, the boundaries, the race, the religion, the color, anything of that nature. I'm going to go ahead and say something. I know it's preaching, and I know it's Sunday morning, and I know it's Christmas, and I know I need to kindly contain myself today a little bit, but God loves the red people. God loves the black people. God loves poor people. God loves rich people. God loves gays. God loves lesbians and homosexuals, and he don't love their sin. He don't approve of their sin, but God loves them. God is not willing that any should perish, but God wants them all to come to repentance, because God loved the world. I'll never forget watching, what's the movie, the Passion of the Christ. The first time I ever watched it, and everything that goes along with that movie, and how that movie ends, how that the directors put it together. After Jesus had went to the cross, at the end of that movie, it shows a black screen. And from the very top of that black screen, it shows one teardrop that comes and it splatters on the ground. Now, I don't know Mel Gibson's intent with that, but I know what my mind receives. We could imagine that God was crying because his son was on the cross. We could imagine that he was crying because of the people that would reject him. But I believe he was crying because of the lost. And again, you can disagree with me today, but I believe that God is still crying because of the lost. Amen. Because he sees them in their lost state. He sees them in their lost condition. But yet I think to myself about love today. The Bible says it's an unspeakable gift. So when you unwrap the gift of Jesus today, what do you get today? For God so loved the world. That love again is unconditional love. The agape love. It is God not giving man what he wanted, but God giving man what he knew that he needed. And you and I know that we need a Savior today. Born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. A Savior, Yeshua. Jesus means Savior. Second verse I thought about when I talk about love is simply this. It's in John 15 and 13. I'm sorry about the sinus issues today, friends. It's been that way all week. John 15 and 13, the Bible says this. Greater love hath no man than this. Think about that gift today. If you unwrap a gift that's given to you from a loved one that loves you, comes from their heart. They wanted to give you a gift. They wanted you to smile. We had our grandbabies yesterday, and I'm telling you, they flipped out. I love it. I love it. They flipped out when we was giving out gifts and stuff. They was screaming and they was hollering, and I just sat in over just eating it up. Man, they were so excited. Screaming. You've never heard a scream. Do you heard Houston scream? I'll tell you that. Lord have mercy. She's almost glass breaking screaming. Excited. I mean excited. I put four piles and I had all four of them and I was giving them out in piles. Excited. And I think about this scripture and I'm thinking about greater love hath no man than this. Jesus in the garden, Brother Hunt, when he said Judas had come, getting ready to come, and Jesus said, Father, if there's no other way, let this cup pass from me, but if there's no other way, he says, nevertheless, thy will be done. And Jesus there in the garden cried out to God and he said, I'll go and I'll do what you've called me to do. No greater love. Even the Bible says again that no man takes his life, but he gives it voluntarily. Today around this room, and again, I often think that I'm talking to only saints and only people that's been born again. But just by chance, if you happen to get here today and you've never experienced this great gift of Jesus, you say, well, preacher, I'll do that when I get 35 or 40 and I'll wait till later in life. Why? Why do you want to live that many more years without him when today God has given you the greatest gift, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. No greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. So the first thing we unwrap this morning when Mary wrapped a present to the world was love. The second thing I began to think about is found even in the scripture. We see this in the scripture in the Christmas story in the book of Luke chapter number 2. We read it. We see what it says there in verse number 10. And it said, and the angel said unto them, the shepherds that was there said, fear not. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Not only did I think about the gift of love, but I thought about joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Joy, again, when we think about joy, joy is not based upon circumstances or situations. Joy today is a person. Joy is Jesus. We see this in the scripture in a couple of different places. 1 Peter, primarily 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'll turn there as well. 1 Peter chapter 1. We see this in verses number 8 and verses number 9. And this is what the Word of God says there. He says, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Look at the next verse. And he says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. But yet we see this, the joy The joy is described as an unspeakable joy that is filled with glory. I tell you, again, I don't know how you feel. And again, I guess it's something, Brother Steve, we all work on. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. And I'll be honest with you today. I think there is something very lacking in the majority of Christianity today. And that's the joy of the Lord. I remember when I was younger, and I remember when we first got saved. Anybody remember when you first got saved? I'm telling you, you were floating on a cloud. Amen. You were so excited, and you were so filled with the joy of the Lord. You just enjoyed His presence. You enjoyed His fellowship. You enjoyed who He was. But somehow I'm afraid today that if we don't maintenance that joy, if we don't work on that, and we don't focus on real joy, there's a temporary joy. Hey, my keys are laying down there. You can get a brand new car. I'm telling you, you can drive it off the lot. You can be so happy. You can be excited. Finally got me a car. Until the 13th of the month rolls around the next month. And you got a $568 car payment. And then you pop yourself on the head. You could have had a V8. And you think to yourself, why in the name of God did I do what I just went and done? Don't raise your hand, but how many people's ever been there? I'm putting mine in my pockets. Joy. There's a difference between that type of joy and the joy that Jesus gives. And if I wanted to be in a preaching mood today and keep you a long time today, I would go off right there and talk about a lot of stuff. But I won't do that right now for the sake of time. But not only the gift of love, but the gift of joy. John 15:11, this is what He says in the Word of God. John 15:11, He says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that your joy might remain in you." Christmas joy. Mary wrapped a present to the world. Mary not only wrapped love, but Mary wrapped joy for you and I and the majority of the world, Brother Russell. They still need to unpackage that joy today. The joy of Jesus. Knowing Him. And He says here in the Word that your joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Full of joy. Full of it. How do you stay full of joy? Joy is a person. You stay full of Jesus. You say, "Well, preacher, I'm having a bad day." You remember that $568 payment you mentioned there a while ago? It's due, and I don't have the money to do it. That has nothing to do with joy, because joy is in your heart. Amen? Those things are temporary. Those things are going to come around next month too. But don't let the things of this world steal your joy away from you. John 16:24, just a few pages over, says it like this. Again, He says, Hitherto have you asked nothing in My name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy might be full. What do you mean? Ask. That your joy may be full. Maybe today if you're drifting, maybe today you've known the Lord, maybe today you're not really where you want to be with God. It's as simple as turning your heart back to Him and ask. Amen. Amen. I'll be honest with you today. Really honest with you. Everything in life don't bring you joy. And if I did not have the joy of Jesus in my heart, the things of this life would get on top of you. And it would hold you down, and it would be very, not only depressing, but it would be oppressing. Like everywhere you go, that cloud would be over your head, and you would just feel oppressed. You'd feel burdened down, and just, whoa, all the time. You'd feel that all the time. But I thank God that Jesus became my burden bearer. I thank God today that He can replace all that anguish and all that anxiety. If the world today would just unpackage the gift, if they would just unwrap the gift, if they would just experience the gift, not only the gift of love and the gift of joy, here's the greatest one of all. I like this one because Isaiah 9 and 6 defines him here in the scripture as the Prince of Peace. Not only can you unpackage love today in Jesus, you can unpackage joy today in Jesus. My friend, you can have the peace of God, peace that surpasseth all understanding. You don't know how it's happening. You know the situations is in front of you, the circumstances in front of you. Our precious family right here, your life could be filled with anxiety today and all kinds of emotion. Sister Lori today with the passing of her mom. My situation is I'm looking at my dad in the bed and can't do nothing for himself. But friend, because of Jesus, hallelujah, Mike Thompson knew who Jesus was. He affirmed that to me several times, amen. Miss Linda knew who Jesus was. My friend, they only got translated or transformed. They moved out of this world to that eternal life today, friend. And today, because of that, the pain's there, the anguish is there, the feelings and the emotion is there. Jesus said, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Amen. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But friend, in all of that comes this one thing called peace. Peace is something that is not necessarily, as it defines it in the dictionary, as the absence of conflict. As long as we're in this world, we're going to have some form of conflict. But my friend, when Jesus was there on the boat, in the boat with the disciples, and they were in the middle of a storm, and Jesus and Peter was having this conversation, and Peter looked at Jesus and said, Lord, do you not even care that we perish? Jesus was in the boat too. You got to understand, He was in the boat with them. They weren't there by themselves. When the three Hebrew boys was in the fire, the fourth man, likened to the Son of God. A theophany, if you will, is when the pre-Jesus, pre-incarnation of Christ showed up in the fire. He didn't leave them in the fire by themselves. And they said, well, King, this one thing we do not know, whether our God will deliver us or not, but one thing we do know, we're not going to serve your God. I don't know how I'm going to get peace in the middle of my storm, but I'm not going to serve the world. Come on, somebody. I'm not going to live for the devil. I'm not going to live for the world. I want to live for Jesus. And God will give me peace. He'll give it to me when He knows I'm ready for it. Sometimes I've got to go through some things, though, before I get to that level. And then again, we look at the scripture where the Bible says it's the peace of God that surpasseth all understanding. For unto us is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called what? Wonderful. Is he wonderful to you today? See, I could talk about every one of these. Every one of these is in the package if people will just unwrap it today. If they'll just unwrap it. Wonderful. There's an old song that says, Ain't Nobody, Jason Crabb, do me like Jesus. Ain't nobody going to do me like Him. Wonderful. Counselor. You need a counselor today? You need a therapist today? You need somebody to go pour your heart out to today? Counselor. He said He's the mighty God, the everlasting Father. You say, preacher, how can I get all that? Unwrap the gift. The Prince of Peace. The Bible describes Jesus as the Prince of Peace. That would come in the middle of chaos. And Brother Scott talked about that wonderful in Sunday school this morning about Roman and the Romans and Herod and all those that was involved, even in Jesus' crucifixion. But He came to give you peace. I'll be honest with you. Christmas is not always a time of peace. Hello? Sometimes it's bitter. Sometimes it's confusing. Sometimes there's heartache, there's loneliness, there's despair, Somebody that was there is no longer there. And all these emotions that comes along with that. And my prayer for you today is simply, as the song says, peace, peace, wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray. And boundless billows of love. Fathoms, whatever it says. Billows of love. That God would give you peace today. The everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. I sort of got a pause right there for a minute in my heart. John 3:15, we see that in our text. It talks about this in our text. And it gives us the reason that Jesus actually came there. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Fourth thing is, everlasting life. I want you to pause for just a second and think about that. John 10 and 28 is another verse of Scripture that talks about eternal life. There's lots of Scriptures I could talk about. You unwrap the gift today, you get eternal life. And there's other topics I could talk about, but these are what I thought about. You get love. You want love today? Unwrap Jesus. Unwrap the gift. Accept Him in your heart. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved. But in this, He says, and I will give unto them eternal life. And they will never perish. And He says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And we sort of divert from that verse of Scripture. I've diverted from that Scripture before. Because sometimes it gives the idea of unconditional eternal security. And I do not believe in unconditional eternal security. But Brother Steve, when I'm saved, and Jesus is my Lord, and Jesus is my Savior, there's not one thing you can do to me to change that. No man can pluck them out of my hand. I can walk away, the prodigal, and I could get into that. That's not what my topic is today. Once you sin willingly, there's no more sacrifice for sin. I'm not going to get into all of that. But when Jesus saves you, and I will say this, Brother Bob, He saves you for eternity. It's His goal, and it's His intention, and it's His purpose of giving His Son to save you for eternity. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have this thing called eternal life. So this whole thing about Christmas today was God sending His Son that you and I could have eternal life and live forever in heaven. And the only way to have that, in time past, again, there's lots of Scriptures and talks about how that God chose Mary, how that the Holy Ghost put that seed of Jesus in her womb. The whole story, how can this be? It was God's plan for man. It's God's plan for man. If there's anything you hear me say today, is do not reject Jesus. The Bible describes Him as rejected of men, Isaiah 53. But you don't have to reject Him. Brother Scott brought it out, and I didn't know those statistics. Only 3% of Israel has accepted Jesus as the Messiah. 3%. I didn't know that. See, I come to Sunday school and I learned something today. 3%. But today, on this Christmas morning, wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody would confess Jesus as their Lord today and as their Savior today, and then they would become a child of God on Jesus' birthday, as we set it apart to be Jesus' birthday. Jesus was most likely born in April, March, April, and spring. Another story, another time. What about you today? Have you unwrapped this gift called eternal life? Have you got joy today? Have you got peace today? Have you experienced the love of God today? If so, I want you to stand. Everybody in the room, just stand with me. Father, I thank you today for your Son, Jesus. I thank you, God, that you gave us eternal life. You died on the cross. You bore the pain. You suffered on the cross. You gave your life a ransom. And God, today is a reflection and a reminder of what you have done for us on this Christmas morning. And Father, I pray, God, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, as people are doing inventory of their own life, I pray, Father God, that if there's one in the room that might not have ever said, Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, that, Lord, that right now on this Christmas Sunday morning, that they would do that. As heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I will not do nothing to you. I will not embarrass you. I won't even do anything. But if you just say, Pastor, that happened to me today, I invited Jesus into my heart, would you just slip your hand up? Anyone at all in the room? Anyone at all? Anyone else? You've accepted Jesus in your heart. And my friend, as you have confessed Him as Lord, as you have confessed Him as your Savior, guess what, my friend? Jesus said He died for you. He gave His life for you. One more scripture really quick, because I already read it as I was studying and I didn't put it in the text. But the Bible said there's joy in heaven over one sinner that's came to repentance. And my friend, in this room today, there's two people that raised their hand that asked Jesus in their heart. A man by the name of Stan Toll West Virginia. Brother Steve, the motto of his services is this: let's keep the angels dancing. Because the angels rejoice over sinners that come to Him. I want you just to raise your hand with me for just a minute and give God glory. Father, I thank you, God, in this room right now, that there are those that's raised their hands today. They've confessed with their mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. They believed in their heart. They've repented of their sins. Lord, repent, repentance unto salvation. Father, I pray, God, today that, God, as they start this new walk with you, that, God, that it would be a walk of love and a walk of joy, a walk of peace. And, Lord, I thank you for Jesus Christ today, that as we celebrate this Christmas Sunday morning, that 2,000 years ago on a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. And because of what Jesus did on that old rugged cross, that God, that He gave His life for us, that we can spend all in heaven. And Father, I thank you for that today. And we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Why don't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise today for all that He's done and for this great day that God's given us to come and spend time in His house. We will not have service this afternoon. We will have service Wednesday night. I'll be preaching Wednesday night. God bless you. Merry Christmas to you, and have a fantastic day. Amen. God bless you.